Let me begin by saying, peace be with you.
And also with you.
The text for our sermon this morning is from John 20, verse 19 to 30, which we have just read. And we just want to reflect on the words of Jesus that he said to his disciples, the words that I've just said to you. Peace be with you. Now, peace was first lost in Eden. You remember when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they were thrown out of the garden, and that desperate position of being peaceless and a curse and rejection from God is the situation that is describing the peacelessness, the separation from God, the being away from the Lord. But in that desperate situation outside the Garden of Eden, that's where we are born with the disciples of Jesus Christ, the whole humankind, the whole human race. That's where we are born, in that desperate position. And still, we are God's covenant people. And Pastor Dennis has just read to us the book of Ezekiel, which is showing us that God still wants to relate with us, despite the fact that we are born outside Eden, peaceless, separated from him, rejected, but we are still his people. He wants to relate with us. He wants to bring us back to his peace, back to continue relating with him. And now in this gospel portion of scripture that we are going to share this morning, Jesus is bringing us back to the idea of wanting to relate, to connect us back to God. Remember, at his birth, peace is proclaimed. Remember when the angel is visiting Zechariah, he says the same words, "Do not be afraid, let there be peace in you," about the message of the birth of John. And even at the birth of Jesus Christ, the angel Gabriel, who comes to Mary, he says to her, "Peace be with you." And even throughout the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, he works reconciling us back to God, reconnecting us back to God, bringing us from that desperate position outside Eden back to God. And we have heard the story of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. We have heard how he overcame death and won salvation for all who believe in his word. And this is the victory over all the powers of darkness and despair. The fact that he died for our sins and he resurrected that we may have life in him. So why is it that the Sunday after Easter always seems like a weak one? In the church here, this Sunday is sometimes called Low Sunday. I'm not very sure. I'm trying to dig into why they call it really weak Sunday, because it translates a lot of strength in my spirit when I think about the words that the Lord is bringing to his disciples. Our gospel lesson takes place the evening Jesus rose from the dead. Last week we heard from the morning events. Jesus rises from the dead. He appears to Mary Magdalene and he says her name. Then she went to the disciples, though they did not believe her. And so maybe they thought she was dreaming, or perhaps she was out of her mind. And so that brings us to today's lesson. In our text, the disciples are hiding behind closed doors in fear of the Jews. In fear of the Jews, that desperate wave of rejection, that desperate wave of feeling they do not belong, and that desperate wave of the humankind that I was describing in the opening of this preaching. They are afraid of the Jews, who are obviously looking down upon them because they have put their hope in a dead God. I put that in quotes. What could be more pathetic than that? They are very low, at the peak of fear and hopelessness, looking at a dark and hopeless future. That is how it goes with our faith too. We feel very good, very encouraged, very charged in the faith on Easter morning. If we went to Kenya on the Easter morning, you would wonder what's happening around. Everybody's full of joy. You would ask them, what is happening? They would say, he has risen. He has risen. Even people who are not committed Christians, they would say, the Lord has risen. And they're happy. And they're rejoicing. And there's good food. There's feasting. The music, the readings, the beauty of the service, you know, the good words, everything points to the wonder of Christ's resurrection from the dead. But later on, after the glow of resurrection seems to wear off, what then happens? What about those times when we are alone in our situations and challenges in the mind and at the bottom of our hearts? What about those times in our lives when we feel like we cannot get enough breath, like someone is choking us, or like someone is strangling us, or like we are struggling from within? It's like what we are passing through is not reality. Someone could even be saying now, "Pastor, stop there. You don't know what you're talking about." At the bottom of our lives, when we feel we do not have peace in ourselves, when we do not have peace with ourselves, when we do not have peace with our people, with our parents, with our spouses. Before I got married, I used to imagine that the pastor's marriage is always a hallelujah marriage, a peaceful marriage, and bread and butter all the time, peace and laughing. But when I got married, I discovered, even with a collar on the neck, marriage is marriage. And I was very thrilled when I heard someone has clocked 54 years in marriage. I'm being the ninth one. He has gone to before me 6 times. That's a big challenge. So there are times in life we feel very low, very disappointed. We feel we are afraid. We don't want anyone to talk to us even. We feel like the disciples were feeling. Our emotions sometimes ebb and flow. And there are times we feel close to God, really. And we feel we are encouraged, we are strong, we can push on. Sometimes even when we are seated in the service like this, we have come to worship, but when we relax and reflect on our own situations, what we are passing through, we feel very wounded. We feel like we are not in the church. We are far away. And that is the situation that the disciples were in. I'm putting it together with the words that are in the gospel reading as fear. Things that we have not overcome yet, things that we are still struggling about, while the situations are matching to the situation of the disciples. As I've just said, many people in the church today, but they're struggling within themselves. I wish they had a chance to share with us today. There's a preacher I was following over on the TV who was saying that if someone wanted to ask the congregation and the preachers to put their problems before the altar, they would not fit. There would be too many. If they brought them in packages, there would be too many to fit in the altar. Some of them would be too dirty. Some of them would be too not properly wrapped, and a lot of things. But the Lord has words of hope for us this morning. He says, "Peace be with you." What a package. At his resurrection, he comes with a package. He says to the disciples, "Peace be with you." Notice how tender these words are in the ears of the disciples. At such a time of despair, how tender and encouraging these words are to our hearts this morning. When the reality of our experience is hotly burning in us, one time, someone was preaching, and at the end of the sermon, he asked if there's anyone who needed a prayer. And the first hand that was shot up was his own wife's hand. And the gentleman he really wondered, what is happening? I mean, they took breakfast together in the morning. They were in the same bed in the night. And then she came to the forward. She called her and asked, "Anyone whose hand is up, please come to the forward so that I can pray with you." So as they came up, he whispered to them to know what actually they wanted him to pray for. And the wife told him, "It is our marriage that I want us to pray for. I want you to pray for. My husband has been hurting me." And you know, this is the very man who has been hurting his wife. You can imagine the pressure. We need hope so that we can be sustained to go a step further. Because we do not know what tomorrow has for us, we need hope so that we can go a step further. And the Lord Jesus Christ brings this hope to the disciples to break the wall of separation, to announce to them that the wall of separation between God and man has been broken. Because of my resurrection, You do not need to stay away from God. God is calling you back to himself. There's no enmity between you and God. Be at peace. But like prisoners of war, the disciples had heard the news already that he had resurrected, but they had not received him since the time they had seen him last in a very difficult time on the cross. And since the time he was out of the tomb, they had not seen him yet. And when he brings this package to them, the Bible says they were thrilled, they were very happy, they rejoiced, their hearts were lifted. He has come with the same package to us this morning, to comfort us and give us hope. He died and rose from the dead for us, so that these words may be permanently established in our hearts, to give us courage to continue in this filthy world. He doesn't fight against the law, neither does he condemn the disciples for their unbelief, although I suppose they deserved it, as we do. No, Jesus gives them the only thing that could actually make a difference in their lives. He gives them his peace. And he uses the same words to us this morning, meaning forgiveness to us, as I've just said. He forgives their sins, and no wonder he accepts Simon Peter, who had actually denied him a few days earlier. Peculiar peace. To accept Simon Peter back, who had just denied him about 3-4 days ago, he welcomes him back. And remember his final words when he's parting company with Peter. He says, "You are the rock, and on you I'll build my church." One who had once denied him. But Jesus is still giving his peace to all who believe in him. As we have just read John's letter, he says that the things that are written, they are written to us so that we may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and in believing we may have life in his name. When we believe in this peace that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us at his resurrection, we are brought back to God. We now have life in God. We have new connection with God, which will never end. What a great package for us. The Lord says, "Peace be with you this morning." In the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.